Did everyone have a good Thanksgiving? All right. Did you get to spend some time with family? I didn't get as good an answer on that one as I did the first one, which brings me to my first point. Segways. Because I hear that every family has this one, maybe two people, this one person in it that it's like, I love them, they're my family, but I don't know what else to say. You know what I mean, right? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hands if you have someone like that in your family, but I've heard that every family has that person in there. Also, I've heard that if you're sitting there right now and thinking, no, I don't think my family has that person, then you. Just. I feel like God has given me this message today. It was very challenging for me and still is. So it may be a little bit challenging, but here's the deal. I believe that it's really going to help you throughout the holidays, especially if you have to get together with family that maybe you don't always get together with or whatever. But this is kind of one of those things. It may be a little bit challenging, but it's good. It's going to be beneficial for us. Loving the familiar. So we're going to first talk about love. Now, I talk a lot about love because I believe almost everything in the Bible can boil down to love, God's love for you. And we're talking about agape love. Love is translated to three different words. Our English word love is translated from three different Greek words. Agape love is the godly kind of love. And we're going to look at the definition of that because that's the commandment that we get. And that's the kind of love that we're talking about. There's also a phileo love, which is like an affection, friendly, family type of love. And we're gonna look at that one as well. But let's first talk quickly about agape love. And I'm going to fly through some scriptures at the beginning, because I just want to paint a picture of what agape love is and what it looks like. I'm hoping that the words that we come up with for agape love and the scriptures that we share will somehow paint a picture in your mind about what agape love might look like in your everyday life, in your home, at your school, at your work, at your Christmas parties, right? I want you to try to picture these words and this descriptions of agape love into your lifestyle. God is love, we read in 1 John 4:8. One thing that we know about agape love, we have it as Christians. Romans 5:5, very powerful scripture. Highlight this one. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The love of God, this agape love, has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. See, here the Holy Spirit is used as a filter. I like this verse because it's got a lot of facts built into it. But the Holy Spirit is like the translator between God and us. It is the filter, the funnel that God pours into us, his love. So we have it. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God within you. This love, agape love, we read in Galatians 5:22, is actually one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit produces. It creates agape love. That's what it does. What you do with it may be a different story, but at least we know you have agape love within you. And the thing is, you can't produce it. You can't grow it yourself. You can't make it. You can't do things to create it in your life. You are merely a receiver and a giver. You're a carrier of agape love. Okay? And another thing that we know, since we're carriers, we also know about agape love, that it is our responsibility as Christians to give it. Matthew 22:40. This is, and I know I quote this a lot, but it's worth quoting again. This is very important. Matthew 22, starting with verse 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. A lawyer. They had lawyers back then, too. Any lawyers in here today? Any lawyer jokes? No, not really. Not really. Do you know the difference between lawyer and God? God doesn't think he's a lawyer. Okay. I love lawyers. Our church lawyer is a great, wonderful Christian man. So I love lawyers. So please don't be offended. So a lawyer asked him a question, asked Jesus this question. He's testing him a little bit. And he says in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." The first and second greatest commandment, love, agape love is the word that's used here. And Jesus is actually quoting what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6:5, 10:12, and 36, three other times in the Old Testament that was quoted. And even the quote that Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, that's also in quoted from Leviticus 19 and 18. In Romans 13 and 8, Paul writes this, "Owe nothing to anyone except agape love one another." John 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you agape love one another." It is our responsibility as a Christian. Another thing that we know for sure about agape love from the Bible is that it is a recognizable feature of a Christian. John 13, 35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have agape love." Okay, so we have it. It's our responsibility. It's commanded to us by God, and it is given to us by the Holy Spirit, and it is a definitive and recognizable feature of a Christian. So what is agape love? Let's just look at the definition for a little bit. Now, the definition of agape love, we've probably all heard some words that define it. It's actually a difficult word to truly define, because there's very few ancient writings that use the word agape. Very few ancient Greek writings use this word. It's almost as if this word was created for biblical or spiritual use, which I think is neat. Agape love. So in order to get a good feeling of what agape may mean, we go to the Bible and continue to look at how God used it in the Word of God. And it kind of gives us that description. John 17, 26. Jesus is praying to his Father God. And he says, "I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Here's my translations. "Father, I introduced them to you so they would experience your love." I believe that you only get agape love through God. It doesn't come by anywhere else or by anything else. It only comes from God, this agape love. We know that agape love is self-sacrificing. John 3:16, we know love by this. Agape love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we're familiar with John 3:16. It says, what's John 3:16 say? Yeah, very good. He loved, so he gave, self-sacrificing. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates this agape love in Romans 5:8. He demonstrates this love towards us because we were sinners, yet Christ died for us. Here's what's interesting. Even though he knew you were going to make some mistakes, he's like, I'm going to sacrifice anyway. And remember this, there's people that will not accept Jesus and will not believe in God. Jesus sacrificed for them as much as he did us. He still loved that much. Even though he knew people weren't going to accept him, he still sacrificed himself. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We know that agape love includes obedience to God. In 1 John 2:5, whoever keeps his word in him, the agape love of God has truly been perfected. John 14:31, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So people will know that I agape love God. I do what he tells me to do. I do as he has commanded me to do. Jesus proves in a very physical way his agape love for God by doing what God commands him to do. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I also believe that agape love demands service. We read in John 21:15, and this was Jesus is asking Peter, and he says, do you love me? Do you agape love me? And then Peter says, yes. And then he says, feed my sheep or tend my lambs. I believe agape love defies human logic. Matthew 5:43, Jesus says, now you've heard it said that you should love your neighbors and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, and this is agape love, and pray for those who persecute you. Defies logic. Agape love includes devotion. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and agape love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. He can't serve two. It is unbreakable. God's love towards us is unbreakable, we read in Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through this list. And in verse 38 he says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. God's agape love cannot be separated from you, and you separated that. No matter how good, no matter how bad you are, you will not be separated from the love of God. Agape love builds up. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge makes arrogant, but love, agape love, edifies. It builds up. So I put together some words for us, just combine some words about agape love. We're going to look at some words, what agape love is not, and we're going to look at some words that describe what agape love is. And a lot of these will come through either verses we've just read or 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. Agape love is not jealous, prideful, envious, provoked, self-serving, evil thinking of others. And I want to bring attention to Mark 10:21. Because a lot of times the world says love is weak. It's like a weak emotion. It's like something that, love. You think of hearts and pinks and purples and We're not talking about that. Agape love is super strong. It's like superhero power. But I wanted to bring attention to Mark 10:21 to kind of counteract that thought. Looking at him, this is when the rich guy comes up to Jesus and he wants to get into heaven. And Jesus replied, this is what happened. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him, agape love. And he said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now, he loved this guy, but he still saw the weakness in him and said, listen, I love you, but there's some issues that you've got to take care of first. There's some things that you need to do. I love you and I want you to follow me, but it will take a sacrifice. I think one of the things that the church in America may have missed a little bit, back in the mid-80s or late-80s, we had this term seeker-friendly. And it was like, just come in, just do whatever you want, wear whatever you want. We're going to do whatever kind of music you like. We're just going to, just everything was okay. We just wanted to get you in so that we could get you to sign a card and put your name on a ballot or something like that. You know, it became very seeker-friendly. But what that does is it paints an incorrect picture of Christianity. That's not agape love. Agape love may mean, listen, I love you, but I also have to correct you. And these are some things that you need to do and take care of in order to follow me, in order to be a Christian. This guy just wanted to get into heaven. And Jesus said, I want you to too, but there's some things you got to work on. So sometimes love may give us a cause for correction. Let's look at some things and words that agape love is that we get from the Bible. And I want you to, again, try to apply these words to your life to see what agape love looks like in your world of influence. We get words like patient, kind, forbearing, enduring, edifying, selfless, freely given, respecter of no one, devoted, serving, obedient to God, self-sacrificing, and according to 1 Corinthians 13, without love, without agape love, any sacrifice, any service, any action is worth nothing. Agape love. It's powerful. It's strong. It's free. The translated words into love from the Bible, agape love, we can see is far superior. Agape love looks quite different than a phileo love, than a family or brotherly, friendly type of love looks like. Now for the kicker. How does this apply to those with whom I'm the most familiar? Loving the familiar. Those with which we are most familiar are often the most difficult to agape love. We still love them. We still have a family phileo type of love for them. But that's not the same as agape love. We've already said agape love is higher. Agape love is commanded of us. Agape love looks different. See, because when we know so much about someone's past, it becomes more difficult to see their potential. Perhaps someone in your family or someone at your work has made some decisions in their lifetime that has infringed upon your life, hurt your feelings, or damaged the family, or caused hurt in some way. That person, even though you love them in a family type of way, it's far more difficult to love them in an agape type of way. Agape love looks differently. See, most loves are somewhat reciprocal. There needs to be a mutual benefit or it's over. We say we love you, I love you, honey, but if that doesn't come back to us, then we stop ours. I've seen that on TV. I love you, honey. Okay, thanks. I said I love you. All right, I heard you. I don't love you anymore. Because they didn't get it back. Most loves are reciprocal. Agape love is not. With agape love, listen to this. My love towards you, my agape love towards you is not based on you. It's not based on your past. It's not based on what you deserve. It's not based on any of that. It's based in my obedience and my receiving love from God. Because like I said, sometimes the more familiar we become with someone, we begin to realize that they're far more different than myself than I first realized. My familiarity with you helps me to anticipate your reactions. You begin to expect things from people because of how they've reacted in the past. What that does is my value of you changes because I have a new system of measurement. Before I knew you very well, my system of measurement was spiritual. I saw you spiritually. And it was super easy to love you with an agape type of love. As I become to know you more and I begin to see these characteristics and tendencies in your life, my system of measurement for your value goes from spiritual to logical. I logically can see what you do. I know what you're going to do. I know what's in your heart. When our values change for each other, our love changes. Our love can go from then an agape love, when we were seeing you through the eyes of God, to a phileo love, which is good and beneficial, but it's not agape love. It's a lesser love. And sometimes we use that to say, oh, I love everybody. I phileo love my family. And God says we need to agape love even the people that you know the best. I listened to Danny Silk. He's an author and speaker this week, and he was talking about honor. But when I heard this statement, I thought that really applies to agape love as well. But here's what Danny Silk said. He said, I know you and anticipate you according to your history. Honor releases you from that history, and heaven sees you in a different light without that history. Heaven sees you according to your unfolding destiny. I like that. Because I begin to think, I believe that agape love is the same way. Agape love, since it's undeserving, you don't deserve agape love from me more than I deserved it from anyone either. It's just freely given. It takes no account of your past. So agape love frees you from your history. And it helps us to see you, it helps me to see you in a heavenly light. So now my system of measurement is spiritual and it's not logical, because I'm not going to hold your past against you, just like I don't want God to hold my past against me, right? Agape love is unconditional, even to those we know the best. Oh, I got a couple examples for you. David and his brothers in 1 Samuel 17. Little King David, before he was a king, little David was a shepherd. And his dad sent him to the front line, said, here, I want you to take some food to your brothers. in the military. He goes up to the front line and he sees Goliath out there taunting the armies of the Israelites. And he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what does a guy get for shutting him up?" 1 Samuel 17:28. "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, 'Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle.' And David said, 'What did I do? I'm just asking a question.'" You see, Eliab, his brother, grew up with David. He's probably seen David do some orneriness, right? He's probably seen David be disobedient to his parents. He knows about David's tendencies when David flies off the handle, when he has a bad day. He knows, he's seen it. And so now David's trying to do something great, and Eliab, his brother, has a hard time with it because he's remembering the past. He's bringing up something from the past. Even though he most likely loves David in a brotherly way. We don't know that for sure, but I'm guessing he probably does. But he was not portraying an agape love towards David. There's another example. It happened to Jesus too. In John 7, 1 through 5, Jesus has an encounter with his brothers. "After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Therefore, his brothers said to him," you know what you ought to do, Jesus? "You ought to leave here and go to Judea." "Leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. They said, "You should go up to Judea. You know how you want to be famous and all that. Go to Judea and do all these fancy-schmancy things that you think you can do. Show people what you can do. You want to be famous." His brothers did not believe in him. Total, complete strangers accepted Jesus and received miracles from him. But the ones Jesus grew up with had a difficult time with it. See, And listen, they probably loved Jesus in a brotherly type of way too. Phileo love is good, but don't shortchange your family, your co-workers, your friends, or yourself by resorting to a lesser type of love than agape love. Agape love looks different. Here's what's interesting. Three scriptures, Ephesians 5:33, Colossians 3:19, Ephesians 5:25, has these words in it. Husbands, love your wives. Now the interesting thing here is the love in this, in all of these verses, is agape love. Now we've already been commanded to love everybody. But here again, we're commanded, husbands, love, agape love, your wives. It's more than a phileo love, an affection. It's more than that. It comes from God. Now, I want to show you something interesting about these two loves. We're talking about agape love versus phileo love. Phileo love is a fondness, an affection. It's like a personal attachment, a feeling. It's heartfelt. It's more of a feeling, whereas agape is regardless of a feeling. Here's some examples where it's used in both ways. In John 3:35, the Father loves, agape love, the Son. Yet in John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son, there it's phileo. God was affectionate toward his Son, Jesus. It wasn't just agape love. There was both. In John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me, agape loves me, our passion, our agape love towards God. John 16:27 says, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. That's a phileo love, our affection towards Jesus. You see, both are beneficial. Both are good. It doesn't mean that one's bad and one's good. They're both good. But agape love is a much higher form of love. And I think God is reminding us, don't resort to a lesser love. Love the people you know the best with an agape type of love as well. Agape love and phileo love in the Bible is never used interchangeably. They both have a distinctive definition in every use. Phileo love, this is interesting, phileo love in the Bible is never a commandment for men to God. It's never commanded to phileo love God, only agape love. It may be difficult to agape love some of the people that we know the most about, but still a necessary and fundamental Christian characteristic and responsibility. Even to the ones that we know the best, we must see them as heaven sees them, not because of their past. We must value them as heaven values them. So, there may be times presented to you in this holiday season, or maybe this is ringing true in your everyday life, and you find yourself at a spot every once in a while, you need to escape to another room and say, Lord, oh Lord, 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 you're going to help me. Did you hear what she said? What are they thinking? Did you hear that, God? Lord, you're going to have to help me. Help me, love. Help me, Lord. Help me. I know that I have received agape love. I'm trying to give it away, Lord, but she's blocking it all. Help me. Help me not to look at her through the eyes of the world or through logic. Help me to look at her through the eyes of God. Help me not to judge her because of what she's done in the past and even anticipate negative reactions from her. Help me to agape love, regardless. Now, I'm not suggesting that we tolerate abuse. Agape love isn't tolerating, it's forgiving. But you're not supposed to tolerate abuse. Agape love may cause you to stand up when it's unpopular. Stand up when you may be the only one standing up. Agape love may cause you to be stronger than you ever realized you were. Just like Jesus, we're talking about Jesus when he told the rich guy, he said, listen, I love you, but there needs to be some correction. It's just like, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the possibility of you encountering the Holy Spirit during a church service. That's a desire of mine, something I pray the most about. God, I want people at Bethel Church Choctaw, including myself, to encounter you in such a way that it not only changes my life, but changes people's lives that I'm around. My love is for that encounter to happen. My agape love for you and the Holy Spirit is greater than my desire to not hurt your feelings if you might be being destructive to that goal. You see what I mean? So if I love that goal enough, if I want so much the Holy Spirit to interact with you in such a way that it's going to change your life, that's what I'm looking for. That love is going to be greater than me not wanting to hurt your feelings if you're being distractive in a service, for instance. We're going to have a conversation. I love you, but you're going to have some correction. So never think that agape love makes you weak. Agape love actually makes you strong. It's a superpower. Agape love does not make you vulnerable. It actually makes you confident and free. Because when you realize that you need nothing in return to give God agape love, if you hate me, it's still my responsibility to give you agape love. According to the Word of God. It doesn't matter, I don't get anything back, I don't need anything back, I'm going to love you. When you realize that, and when you remember that it's not your love, you didn't create it, you didn't work for it, you're undeserving too. You just have it. You're just a carryover. When you realize those things, it gives you a strength and a freedom from your past and from your feelings to show agape love to everybody, even the people that you know the best. Would you stand with me, please? Three more scriptures to take with you. 1 Corinthians 16:4, let all that you do be done in love, agape love. Remember those words that we went through, what agape love looks like in your life. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The people that you are the closest with sometimes may be the ones that get on your nerves the most, but those people deserve your agape love, whether they're good or whether they're bad. God says to give it to them and everybody. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing on this service. We thank you for your anointing in our lives. Thank you for calling us to a higher service, for a higher love. Thank you for pouring into us your love. I pray, God, that you would give each of us a greater understanding of agape love, of your love for us, and a greater understanding of how we carry and deliver that love to other people. And as we go through this season where we talk so much about love, help us to remember the highest love of all comes from God and God alone, agape love. Truly unconditional love. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.